Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join with us as we face the issues each and every day. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion. I did some have placed it. We like to have your 2 cents worth of thoughts. Some want to put in 2 cents worth, some a half dollar's worth. But we'd love to hear from you today on a very important subject. We're talking about today, monuments are God's idea. Monuments are God's idea. We'll be talking about that and a litany of other subjects that I believe are imperative for us to understand in the day and era in which we're living, especially in the Jacksonville metropolitan era when we deal with some issues coming up in our election, the primary in March, and I believe we need to talk about some of those candidates, some of those issues that we need to deal with and look at very clearly through a microscope as to what's taking place with the educational system in America and trickling down the educational system in the state of Florida and here in Jacksonville, and what's happening and what is taking place and what are some of the remedies for that. We're going to introduce a very special guest that we've had with us on the air before, and he's with us again. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, our woke cancel culture of today are simply against anything that's right, anything that's moral, anything that has a basics of history for the constitutional republic that we are under. We are looking at the climate cult today, the anti-racism cult, the cult of wokeness, the LGBTQ cult, the transgender cult, the cult of abortion, the COVID cult, the cult of globalism, and the anti-history cult. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe if we talk about this two or three special issues today, I believe it deserves the scrutiny and the analysis based on a central biblicist worldview. This is the reason I say each and every day as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's what does God's word say? I call it the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Jesus then says in John 14, 6, "I am truth." Ladies and gentlemen, in John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." In Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we speak today, as each and every day, we do so based on the authority of truth. Truth is something that is not sought today. Truth is something that Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party don't know how to even spell the word truth. It goes back to the secularist George Orwell and his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be true today, if I can use that pun. And ladies and gentlemen, the problem is we have most Americans today, when I say Americans, let me qualify that, the younger Americans, the millennial age group, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% of those, according to the latest report, 55% of those think that each person determines their own version of truth. This is the reason it's so important that we understand truth. In an article about that survey on the 55% of the millennials believing that truth is individual and independent with their own version of it, the writer of that article says, "The loss of truth has grave consequences for community, for justice, for a sense of purpose, and mental health." This article writer says, "I'm not aware of any civilization that's abandoned the reality of truth to the extent that we have and yet survive." That should be a warning flag for us, ladies and gentlemen. That should cause us to look up and understand that we're in a quagmire, and we're watching it increase each and every day with the woke culture, the cancel culture, being the ones that are in charge, it appears, and that everything else, conservative patriots and Christian Americans, are bowing to that mindset. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe that is the mantra that we need to have and that we live by each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time has the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. Tools for Time has a benchmark that helps you to find it. Gigantic 165-foot flagpole with a gigantic American flag flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it, and during the course of this broadcast, I'll remind you constantly of that telephone number. It's 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. That telephone number, you dial that number, get you through to the studios right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion as we talk about these very important, imperative issues today. We're talking about, as a precursor to the balance of our discussions today, we're talking about monuments are God's idea. God's idea. Perhaps the anti-history cult is probably more dangerous or as dangerous as anything else that could happen with any of the cults it's operating, lest we talk about the, quote, the religious cults, those that are tearing down and destroying the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I'm told that across America, ladies and gentlemen, we have more than 10,000 legacy monuments, more than 10,000. Now, I'm not counting them. I've based that on research that I've done, more than 10,000 legacy monuments. Some call them historic monuments. But the woke culture is busy today destroying our history and our historic legacy monuments. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to focus today on what is taking place and what we should do in relationship to the conservative Christians, the conservatives, the patriots in America. I believe it's time we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, talks about putting on the whole armor of God because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against wickedness in high places, paraphrasing that text, ladies and gentlemen. But he goes on to say, once we put on the whole armor, we need to stand, having done all, stand. That literally means to dig in the heels. Don't bow, don't bend, don't run, don't turn, don't hide, but stand and face the issues. That's what we do on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, each and every day. But we have those, for example, ladies and gentlemen, right here in Duval County. Our schools are being renamed. Don't know if you're aware of that or not. To rename one school is between $1 and $2 million to rename a school. It's not just a matter of putting a new sign up, not a matter of just putting a new entrance billboard up. It's a matter of having to change all of the literature, all of the printed material, and redesignating that as a school. Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing that ridiculous destruction of our historical past in multitudes of areas. Even the military bases today are being renamed. I don't know if you're aware of this, and perhaps we can talk about it further as you would like to call in and discuss it in just a moment after we introduce our special guest. Looking at a headline, military installation ships named after Confederates began renaming process. North Carolina's Fort Bragg would be known as Fort Liberty. The process of removing names of military installations and ships and other items that were inspired by Confederates and adopting new names is underway. The Pentagon announced on Thursday that William LaPlante, the Undersecretary of the Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment, directed the Department of Defense to move forward with the implementation of the renaming, the recommendations made by the Commission on the naming of items last summer. The DOD said in its announcement that renaming the bases after Confederates have been done during the height of the Jim Crow laws in the South. That's the claim, that the naming of our military bases, I'm sure, ladies and gentlemen, listen, somebody somewhere had a council, they had a meeting, they set up a commission, they discussed it, they voted on it, said, let's do this. Let's do something that will be the thumb in the eye of those that are not Confederates. Let's do something that somehow will alienate them from society. And let's name them some names that will hurt in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the farthest thing from the truth. This article goes on to say, all of this changed in the aftermath, that is, all of the monuments and the historical reason behind them. All of this changed in the aftermath of the police killing of George Floyd in 2020. Many people protested the systemic racism and pointed to Confederate statues as basis of the part of this system. Further, this article says, as per the recommendations, many well-known bases and items will receive new names. For example, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Fort Bragg in North Carolina will be named, Fort Bragg was named after Confederate General Braxton Bragg, will be renamed Fort Liberty. Fort Gordon in Fort Gordon, Georgia, named for the senior Confederate officer John Brown Gordon, will become Fort Eisenhower. By the way, let's just pause and think. Was there anything in General Eisenhower's background that would cause you to think there could not be some that would be bothered by Fort Gordon being renamed to Fort Eisenhower? Ponder that for a moment. And the idea is that Fort Gordon has some kind of stain in reference because somehow, some way, he was out of the Confederates, and somehow, some way, that he may have been in approval of the slavery of that era or the era before that. Then it further states, ladies and gentlemen, Fort Hood, Texas, originally named for the Confederate officer John Bell Hood, would become known as Fort Gavaz, G-A-V-A-Z-O-S. After General Gavaz, or Gavaz, the first Hispanic man to earn 4-star rank in the U.S. Army. These are just a few of the 9 bases set for renaming in America. Among others, renamings are locations of the U.S. Military Academy, named for Confederate General Robert E. Lee, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, the woke culture is going absolutely bonkers in their push. And let me just pause for a moment. They're bonkers in their push, but what they're doing, they're trying to erase history, the history of America. They're trying to somehow, some way, intertwine racism and slavery in the past with the monuments. And the monuments that were set up had no indication of that. There was no idea behind that. There was no desire to instill some future reference to some racism or something about slavery in the minds and the hearts of those that did that, did those monuments. Ladies and gentlemen, looking at one article that says 73 Confederate monuments were removed and renamed just last year. Had another article that said 210 had been removed and renamed just last year. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize we're erasing America's history. We're erasing the Constitutional Republic's history is what we're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, our future and our next generations will never know. Listen, our next generations and the future Americans, if Jesus tarries and if America is sustained, will not know the historic background of how we got here, what brought us here, and what we're here for. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this in before we introduce our guest today. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, let me just give you a little overview narrative. Moses has died. God called Joshua, that had been the underservant for Moses for 40 years. God called Joshua and asked him to stand up, speak up, and lead the children of Israel across the Jordan into the promised land. They got to the banks of the Jordan, and they camped there for some 3 days, waiting until the plans of the preparations were made. God then instructed the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant and to go to the edge of the banks of the Jordan, which the scripture says was overflowing at that time. They were instructed to place their big toe, my words, not the Bible, to place their feet in the banks in the edge of the water. And when they did, the water parted. God did it and allowed them, some 2.5 to 3 million Jewish people at that time, some 2.5 to 3 million passed over, the scripture says, on dry ground. That's the third chapter now of Joshua. And when they passed over, it took days for that to happen. The water stood up in a heap, that is a big wall on each side, allowing them to pass over on dry ground. After that had taken place, God gave Joshua the instructions that out of the 12 tribes of Israel, you take one man. Each man would go to the bed, the dried bed in the Jordan River, and pick up a stone and remove that stone and place it on the edge of the banks of the Jordan where they crossed over. And the purpose for that monument is very, very clear. In the fourth chapter, it gives the instructions for them to do that. And the Bible says in the fifth verse of the fourth chapter, "And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man a stone upon his shoulders," it must be a pretty good sized stone, "upon his shoulders unto the number of the tribe of the children of Israel." Verse 6 is the answer, ladies and gentlemen, "that ye may be a sign unto you, that when your children and the children's children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones?" Verse 7, "Then you shall answer them that the water of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. When you passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a monument unto the children of Israel forever." Did you hear that? When we put monuments up, ladies and gentlemen, it's a historical marker to point to what was past and what took place, and so that our future generations can look at those monuments and understand what history is about and why it is there and what we need to do. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear that monuments are an idea of God. Monuments are an idea of God. And when you go back to the history past, you go back to our founding fathers and the founding documents, we discover early on, ladies and gentlemen, that most, if not all, of our founding fathers were God lovers, were those that were, in most cases, Christian, and in some cases, just simply recognizing and honoring God. But nevertheless, it was as a result of that that we today have the idea of putting up monuments. And I've driven across the nation very many times in different places, and I've seen monuments that I dislike, that I disagree with, that I think ought not to be there, but I've never felt it my right, my authority, to challenge it, to question it, and demand it be removed. But we're finding that taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe it's time that we stand up, speak up, and understand that it is God's idea to have monuments. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my delight today to have with us a gentleman that's been with us on this show before, Derby Uyoa.
Uyoa.
I'll get it right after all. Derby Uyoa. I'm just going to call him Derby. Derby's been our guest before on other Jacksonville Talk radio shows. He's also spoken before political and civic groups throughout Southeast and throughout the Southeast and throughout South Georgia and North Florida. Derby was born in pre-communist Cuba. Fled communism during his teen years and came to North Florida in 1960. Since then, he's been an outspoken advocate against communism, even during his college years at Valdosta State College and Florida State University, where he earned his Bachelor of Arts and his Master of Arts degrees. After graduation, he became involved in the community affairs and was elected president of the Jacksonville JCs. He was a professor at the Florida State College at Jacksonville for 38 years and is now retired. I don't know how it feels to retire, Derby.
Great.
But he continues to be involved in the political arena in our area, and I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for his stand on some of these issues that we need to take a stand on. Derby, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. You've heard my monologue, my dialogue and discussion. Tell us something about yourself that you want our listeners to understand as a precursor to our dialogue and discussion on some of these hot-button issues for Jacksonville and for our nation.
Okay. Thank you for the invitation, Dr. Youngblood. But before I start, I'd like to say this much, so your audience knows where I'm coming from. First, I am not running for office. I am not looking for a job. And I am not selling anything. What I have to say comes from the bottom of my heart.
Amen.
Because I am very concerned about the political, economic, moral, and religious state of my adopted country.
Mm-hmm.
I hope your audience likes what I have to say. But if not, that is their right and privilege. We don't have to agree on everything.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I give you nothing but the truth. But if I give you wrong information, and I am proven wrong, I will admit my mistake and apologize in public,
mm-hmm.
which is what I am about to do right now to the people of Venezuela. Years ago, in my speeches, I would say Venezuelans were stupid for electing communists like Chavez and Maduro, because they should have learned from the example of Cuba. Cubans were in Venezuela telling them, hey, this guy's a communist. Well, but that was before I learned about the Dominion voting machines.
Mm-hmm.
Venezuelans did not elect communists. They were cheated.
That's right, just like America.
Just like Trump in 2020.
That's right.
So, Venezuelans, please accept my sincere apologies for being ignorant of the facts then. But now I know better. Let's get on with the interview.
That's good. I am thankful to hear that. In fact, Derby, my question is, and this is ahead of the game of where we're going to go, but if we continue to use these voting machines, it seems that since we've become so electronically smart and alert, and have the prowess in that area, it takes longer to count votes than it did back in the day. We'd had the paper votes, and you count them. By midnight, we knew who was winning the election. I don't believe, and I could be corrected, and love to hear from our listeners today, I don't believe it's possible in America, and I'm not a doom and gloomist, I don't believe it's possible in America to have a legal, genuine election in the future as long as we use these machines. And the Dominion machines are designed to do exactly what they're doing. That's stealing the election by fraud that put Joe Biden in the Oval Office, that in 2020 did that, and in 2022 we've watched the same thing taking place in the election. What is your take on that? What are your thoughts? You think we have a possibility of that?
There's no possibility of electing Trump or even the Pope or Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
as long as we have the Democrats controlling the counting of the votes using Dominion voting machines throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said it was Karl Marx that said it's not who casts the vote, but who counts the votes.
That's right.
That count makes the difference. And we're watching that take place. It's a communist Marxist movement today to make it look as though somehow, some way, there's an election taking place. In fact, my wife and I recently talked about it. About how many years have gone by that we would look at with pride the opportunity to vote and see the election being the votes being counted, and somehow, some way, we the people thought we're electing that person. Well, Joe Biden was not elected by the people. It was the heir apparent that was thought to go into office, Hillary Clinton. And it was a surprise, and this is the reason we had such a shock when we found out the CIA and the FBI were involved in that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Joe Biden was selected
yes.
by the machines,
that's
not
right.
elected.
That's it. Yeah, it's a good statement.
And the same would happen in Georgia. You know, Walker won, but
the Warlock.
Warnock stole the election.
That's right.
He stole the primaries in 2021 and in 2022. If we had used honest voting machines or elections, paper ballots, we would have the Senate and the House by a large majority.
Absolutely.
Right now. But it will never happen because the stupid Republicans, and I call them stupid, are you listening, everybody in the GOP,
mm-hmm.
Are accepting the fraud.
That's right. Well, they're stupid in the sense, and I agree with you 100%, in that they're afraid to say that we had a fraudulent election. They're afraid that somehow, some way, they might alienate someone. And the stage was set for that statement and for that mindset by the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist Democrats. And so the Republicans have bought it, and they're afraid to say anything about it because they think that somehow, some way, we might lose an election, might alienate somebody with doing so. It is a difficult task, but ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that we stand up and understand that. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to a single day for voting. If we make it a federal holiday on Election Day, all businesses are closed, and you have one day off, even where the individual workers get paid to be off that day to go vote, and it's 7 o'clock that evening across the nation, different time zones, of course, being included. At 7 o'clock, the election is closed, and by 12 o'clock, the votes are counted, and by morning, we know who's elected across America. I believe it's time to go back to a paper ballot. I believe it's time for us to do it on that basis. Derby, again, I'm thankful that you're here. What are your thoughts about the legacy monuments and what we see taking place? We've got a rhino in the office here that we call mayor. Lenny Curry's been about the sorriest mayor that we've seen, that we've had, and I've been in Jacksonville about 41 years. And he has no spine, no backbone, in my most humble opinion. And if somebody wants to call and challenge that, that's all right. Ladies and gentlemen, that reminds me that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Dialing that number gets you straight through to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions and comments. Derby, there's been a lot of things taking place across America with the legacy monuments. Talk for a minute, just from your historical perspective, about legacy monuments. What are they for? And they're across America. How should we view them? How should we honor them? What should be done? Then we'll talk about a local level of what's happening.
Well, first, as you said, the monuments are our history, our culture, and they are also art and architecture, mm-hmm. unlike what is being produced today. They are classical arts and architecture. Now, there's a group in Jacksonville called the Unity Project, and they are working to save and protect all the area monuments. Their goal is not to take anything down, but to contextualize all of them and then add more monuments to balance any difference in historical accounts. Some blacks say that they have not been properly represented historically. Well, then add more black monuments, but do not destroy anything. Now, I have a message for all black Americans in Jacksonville and all over the country. Of course, slavery was bad, but that is the way that it was since the beginning of time. Slavery was not just in the southern states.
That's right.
White people abusing black Africans.
That's right.
It was taking place all over, especially in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. I'd like to give a quote from Walter Williams. He's a peer of Thomas Sowell, a great economist, philosopher, commentator, who passed away. And I met him when, learned about him, when he was a guest host for Rush Limbaugh. And he's black, or was black. He passed away. He said, blacks should be thankful for slavery, because without it, all blacks would have been born in Africa, not in the U.S., and they would not be American citizens today.
It's a good thought. It's a good thought. Debbie, we're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. We're going to have a top-of-the-hour news break, and then we'll get into the meat of the subject of the monuments and what we should do. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to be right back right after the top-of-the-hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.